I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seat, please. All right. I want us to do something today. I'm going to talk about the drinking of life constantly. You see what I mean by that in a moment. Let's begin from the book of Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to read a number of verses from verse 9. It's quite a bit, but I'll rush through it. So after these things, I looked. What are these things? After I saw the number of people that were counting, 12,000 from 12 different tribes. So after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. So it's not only the 144,000. He said, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, I saw them standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. They worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Then one of the angels answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. Please notice that. And they serve Him day and night in His temple, or they serve. And that's the literal thing, if I'm correct there. Day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. Now notice verse 16. They will hunger no more, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. He said in verse 17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Please look up from reading. We did read all these verses to emphasize something which I said on Saturday, and which I teach again and again here and there, on the issue of worship. Again, some time ago, we talked about the worship of the true God. I don't know whether we read the scripture then, but I think we read it. Please, this is a teaching I've been explaining to people. And many people, when they hear it, it's really their first time of thinking along those lines. And that's what I want to talk about. Well, it's going to be part of what I want to talk about today. I've been explaining that God does not gain anything from anybody. The only thing if we say He gains, the only thing He might gain, all right? The only thing He might seem to gain is the pleasure of seeing you gain. I don't know whether you get my point there. He gives Him pleasure when you gain. He's a true father. If as a father you spend money, you spend time, you spend energy to take care of your child, you invested in education, assuming you're a very rich person, you know. You're not investing so the child can take care of you. No, that's not your investment. In fact, you are one of those that will give out hundreds of millions of dollars to your children as inheritance. However, after you've invested all the time and energy, the day that child graduates, can you think of the satisfaction? You are happy. You are fulfilled. That's the word I wanted to use. Who said it? Thank you. Fulfilled. What are you gaining, like materially or something added to you? Nothing. The only thing you are gaining is that fulfillment of seeing somebody else succeed. I hope you're getting my point. Is that fulfillment of seeing somebody else succeed? When I say somebody else, now this time around is your child. That's how the Heavenly Father is. He does not gain anything. For example, you come to worship. I've been saying it again and again. Worship is not for his advantage. People mischaracterize him as if the food he eats is worship. The food he eats is praise. God is not like that. He doesn't need any food. Please, I can't say this enough. Imagine you pack all the searchlights in Namdi, this flood light in our stadium. What's the name of our stadium again? Okay, the airport in Abuja that's like that. Okay. So the names, they mix it up in your head. Okay. If you go to our stadium here, Namdi Azikiwe Stadium, and collect all the searchlights, by 11 o'clock, you turn them upwards. Then you go and collect all the... You go to Lagos. What's the name of their own stadium? Okay, let's not bother with names. You take all the... what do you call it? All the stadia around, you turn all the searchlights all over the nation. That's in Nigeria, I forgot. You go all over Africa. You know those floodlights that they have in stadia? So you can play matches at 12 midnight as if nothing spoiled. So I ask you, what are all of you turning this light for? He said, the sun has been blessing us for so long. He said, it's our turn to help the sun and shine light towards the sun. Now, first of all, okay, I know you are finding it ridiculous. Actually, it's very ridiculous. And you're not even the sun. You're on the earth. You're looking like, guys, are you joking? He said, no, if you know how much the sun has done for us, we have crops in our fields. It's the sun. That's photosynthesis. We dry our clothes, the sun. The light from the sun. We charge our solar panels, batteries with solar panels, taking light from the sun has been good. So we turn all our flood light towards the sun. You know, the sun cannot even understand. In fact, it won't even see it. If it was seeable, if the sun had eyes, he couldn't see it. The only person that will see it, somebody that's flying, maybe an astronaut, that's still not too far away from the surface of the earth. Say, wow, see, the earth is brilliant, kind of. And all the lights will show us what? Specks. Dots. Just that the earth has a lot of dots all over it. Please, brethren, what would the sun gain? Now, that's just an analogy. God's own is even more, is grander than that. If the sun had a mind, what would make the sun happy? I said it on Saturday. Is that you planted your crops and you are harvesting. The sun said, hey, at least my energy is not being wasted. The satisfaction of the sun is that it sees you continually come to take light from that sun. You can never give light back to him or to it. That's the way it is with God. Please, worship is not about God. I talked about this on Saturday. Let me not spend all the time on it now. Worship is not about God. Worship is how people tap life. I'm talking today about drinking of life on a constant basis. Worship is how you tap life constantly. It's not how you give to God. There is nothing. See, let me tell you. The only thing you can seem to give to God is something that will give him, let me put the word, satisfaction in seeing how his children are blessed. For example, Jesus died for their sins. Amen? Sins of the whole world. It is satisfying him. It will make him happy. The Bible says that he will see the result of the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. It's the result he sees. Go and read Isaiah chapter 55 towards the end, 53 towards the end. That is, you take a drug addicted young man. He's been on drugs for the last 15 years. Somebody took him into it by the time he was 19. Now he's 34. He's not done anything good with his life. Then you preach the gospel to him. And he gives his life to Christ. And you pray for him. And he's delivered from drugs. He becomes a productive member of the society, of the church. He's growing. And you will see the result of that and be what? Satisfied. So you that preach the gospel to that young man, you that minister the word of God to the young man, you have given God what? Satisfaction. But how did you get the satisfaction? Somebody else was blessed. That is why, see, these offerings we make noise about. You cannot give money to God. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Let me say properly. You can't give money to him. You can only give money to something that will satisfy him. Do you follow my point? And that is what he calls a sweet sacrifice. That's when to him, the offering is sweet. So, if it's somebody in need, and the person is praying to God, and God moves you to give to the individual, are you following that? And the person says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Can you see? Your giving has brought what to the Lord now? Satisfaction. But was it the one you gave money to? Let's go back to that gospel matter. The young man that was delivered from a useless life as a result of drug addiction. Whoever sponsored that minister to go that day, did he give money directly to God? Answer me. Did he give money directly to God? Did he give satisfaction to the Lord? How did the Lord get the satisfaction? A man sponsored the preaching. That's what Paul called, I'm doing my share in that which is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. I hope you're following the point. That is, Jesus died for him. He doesn't know. That's why he's been on drugs for 15 years. I say this all the time. I will never stop saying it. You know me, if you've heard me talk about it, I can't watch black history films, slave history in America. I once it starts, I shut off, I get up, I walk away. It touches me too much. Because most of the slaves taken were taken from West Africa here. So it kind of, I feel connected. So I still feel pain, even though this thing is how many centuries ago. The slavery ended not too long ago, though. I still feel pain. So when they want to start showing the films, get my point. When they start it, after a few minutes, I get up and leave. And these days, I don't watch at all. I don't even try and explore. The only one I watched a bit of, can you guess? No, I watched it fully. Bishop? Eh? Look, somebody said Roots there. After everything I said, it's Roots you chose. You're not serious at all. Is that Jonah? It's Jonah. He doesn't have no any other one. That's why I said Roots. Okay, let me tell you. It's Django Unchained. For obvious reasons. You know the reason now. The way it even went on, the way the guy was avenging himself of all adversaries, it was kind of satisfying to the soul. But the point I'm making about it is that I understand some things about slavery. And I'm saying the deliverance from slavery is because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, so for someone that pains me so much like that, anytime I have children in the house, I look at them. I say, hey. Dude, I saw one joke recently, all right? Well, not really a joke, but somebody was talking about it. Oh, how do I explain this now? In a comedy, somebody was joking about a song that the slave of her father, she was a very rich woman, inherited wealth. She's talking about her father's favorite house slave. She used to sing one song those days. Now, listen to the song. I can't sing it the way it's about, but I give you the words. So when the guy is walking at home, somebody used to sing, he said, my master is not going to sell me today. that I'm going home, I believe, not Negro spirituals, that my master will not sell me today. Imagine a man is in the house and they sold his children because the master is broke. Now, where I'm going is that, do you know that's why I appreciate Jesus Christ? I know it's because of him. Nobody is taking any of my children. Nobody is selling me. I'm nobody's slave. God has to help me not to let pride enter my heart. Eh? But I wear that freedom with godly pride. Yes. That is why there's no argument you want to give me about how bad things are around me. If for any reason I feel you are taking away my freedom, I'd rather starve to death. I'm being honest with you. He says, pride. No, it's not pride in myself. It's pride in what Jesus paid for. I won't sell it. Don't forget. Birthright. How did the... What is the name? Esau. How did he lose his birthright? It's not food. Would you not have preferred he starved than sold the birthright? That's the point I'm making. I will not sell my birthright. Let me starve. I believe that Jesus paid for me to be free. Let me starve. I'm not talking about being too proud to walk. I'm talking about I won't sell myself as a slave because Jesus paid. So anybody, now, why am I talking about this? Anybody that advances the knowledge of Christ so as to free slaves, the person, what the person is doing is giving Jesus Christ his satisfaction. That's where I'm going. If you preach the gospel and people believe, and deliverance comes to the captives, you are giving Jesus satisfaction. You are giving the Father satisfaction. So there is nothing you can give to them directly. You give to the poor, they are satisfied because somebody cries to him. And then he uses you to bless the person. And that's why I say all the time, please, you know, I always say, let your name be mentioned in thanksgiving. Let your name always be mentioned in what? In thanksgiving. Let God use you to bless somebody so that the person will say thank you. Please, let God use you to bless somebody so that the person will say what? Thank you. It's very important. Not thank you to you. Are you getting my point? It's like thank God, thank you. And you are the person that God used. That's what I'm talking about. The person will say, God bless you. In fact, you know, I was saying something. It's only once I read through my New Testament that anybody who did anything, I struggled for a long time until I finally found it. Did somebody even show it to me? Or I stumbled or heard somebody quoting the scripture in which Paul said thank you to anybody. Only once. In all his letters, you look at James and didn't talk much about that. Peter didn't used to talk much about the other workers. But Paul constantly talked about workers and all of that. Do you know it only once he said thank you to anybody? I used to say I didn't see it anywhere. But once, I think it's the book of Romans at the end. But he appreciated everybody. He always said thanks be to God. The Philippians blessed him. He said thanks be to God. Don't forget that thing. Please tell yourself, in this my life, I will give God his satisfaction. How do you give it to him? It's not, you know, I'm sorry. I'll get to my message in a moment. That's why a lot of the giving we give as Christians. You want to hear the truth? God doesn't like it. He's not satisfied. Yeah, he's not. We don't give him any satisfaction as a result. We come to him. We supposedly are giving to God. But by the time we are giving, you know what we're thinking of? What did we collect back? What we collect. So there's no thank you that's coming from anybody's heart because of your work. It's a very bad life. And I keep on begging preachers, please stop deceiving people with those kind of messages. You're not helping them. Teach people so much that they will do good works and they won't remember. And somebody will say thank you to God because of what they did. Then the person has given God a sacrifice that is worthy. He has given God satisfaction. Because the only thing that satisfies him
is when he sees somebody else blessed. That is how God gets satisfaction. I'm still talking about worship, right? I have been saying it again and again so that people will understand. Don't ever think worship is about God. That is like, is the one that will gain something. No. I said on Saturday, if you're not around, please listen to the message. It's like leaves coming out and facing the sun. We talked about the sun. So if you were to watch from above, you will see all the leaves facing the sun. It will appear like worship. But they are not giving anything to the sun. They are taking from the sun, and that is where the sun, that's God now, that's where he gets his satisfaction from, that they are being effective in photosynthesis. Let's get back here. Where we read just now, which is the book of Revelation chapter 7. Now, having said this, I want you to now think about this again. But quickly jump down to verse 16. Now, it said they will serve. If you go to verse 15, for this reason they are before the throne of God and they serve day and night in his temple. What are they serving him? From what I've said, you see, it doesn't connect. You see, I've said it before. For you to be able to relate with God, talk about the will of God, you have to understand his character. For you to be able to understand scriptures, you have to understand the character of God. What are they serving him for? What does he need them for? And that's the point I'm making here. When you use the word serve here, the point is that before I finish, let's go back to verse 16. It said, day and night they are serving the temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. Think about the hen incubating the chicks. I hope you're getting my point. Who is getting anything here? Is it the chicks or the hen? He will spread his tabernacle over them. Which verse is that now? Okay, yeah. Verse 16. He said, they will hunger no more, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun, that is the natural sun now, beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will build their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear. Now, this is where I'm going. Did you notice this? Where are they going to be all the time? Where? Eh? Where are they going to be? It's written there. It's written there. I'm not telling you to imagine it. Where are they going to be? Go to verse 15. Where would they be? In his temple. Thank you. Let me hear you say it. For this reason, they serve day and night in his temple. Now, this is where I'm going. That is the reason why they will hunger no more, nor thirst anymore. Now, think about this for a moment. Do you remember this man, Moses? You know, the longest fast in the Bible is the fast of who? Moses. How many days? 80 days. Thank you. 40 days before the throne of God, in the presence of God. Now, listen, this is literal. Because the tabernacle of God was spread over him, he was not hungry. He did not thirst. Are you catching it? Because life, which is what food is. Now, let me just tell you something, in case you don't know. I feel like teaching chemistry. How many of you love science? All of those of you who dodged. Now, you have come today. Now, I've caught you again. All those who missed their physics classes, I've caught you today. If you bother to remember your biology class, the first thing they will teach you about biology. Or I think also in chemistry, but it's there, physics, chemistry, biology. They'll let you know the energy which I'm moving now. I'm moving up and down. My muscles are consuming energy. I'm moving my arms. My eyes are consuming energy to translate light to signals. My brain is using energy to interpret all of the energy and the signals. Oh, then to talk about my mouth, consuming energy. Every single one of this energy, every single bit of it, came from just one place. Where? Is the sun. Somebody say the food. No, it's not from the food. The food is a medium of delivery. Yeah, I want to teach you something. No, in case you did not know, if you are listening to this, everything comes from the sun. What you call food is when, listen, the solar panel, which is a leaf, has trapped the light, energy, is stored in the battery. The battery is called yam. The battery is called cassava. The battery is called rice, beans, potatoes. Everything that you... That's the battery. Then you cut the battery and then swallow the battery. Then the body will process all the energy inside the battery. See, this is how life is. There's no bit of energy you are consuming on this earth. Maybe less than 0.0001. That one comes from what we call chemosynthesis. That's very tiny. In fact, it doesn't matter to you. Okay, maybe, well, you eat some fish and all of that. Maybe the fish managed to get out for you. Almost all the energy you consume from the sun. Almost all of it. In fact, let's just say all of it. 100% from the sun. But it comes different ways. Sometimes it comes through, like I said, yam. Comes through rice. Comes through beans. All of them from the sun. The leaves trap the energy and store the energy inside what you and I call food. Then the body will now take the food, break it down, and extract the energy. And use it to move my hands as I'm teaching you extract. Do you get my point? That's everything that he's doing. So that is why, of course, do I need to tell you, that sun is also a storage space for the life that God gave. So when somebody goes to the presence of God, and God shines his life directly into you, suddenly you don't need the food. Everything has been bypassed. It's the reason why Moses sat in God's presence for 40 days, the first 40 days, soaking in energy from God. There was no need for anything. There was no need. Now, I hope you're getting my point. Now, he took so much of it. When he came out, what happened to his face? First was shining. You want to know the truth? It's the reason why he didn't need to eat for the next 40 days. You know, the next 40 days, he lay down there. And they couldn't, of course, they anointed him. They had broken the covenant of God. Moses lay down there for 40 straight days. Another 40 days, not needing food. 80 days. The reason is clear. See, it's not magical. It can easily be explained. It's the amount of energy he took when he was in God's presence. It was not to sustain for the next 40 days. Now, what was I saying? Yeah, we're talking about... Yeah, so, now, brethren, that's what worship is. I hope you're getting my point. That is what? What worship is. That's what worship is. Please, I said it on Saturday. Please go and get that message. It's not about God at all. That is like, the benefit is not to him. It's centered on him. We are reading here, because they serve, that is what worship there, day and night, is the reason why they do not thirst anymore. That's the reason why they don't get hungry. The same energy you are going to look for in the food is coming directly from God to them. The same refreshing you are going to look for in the water is coming directly from God to them. Moses sat in God's presence for 40 days. That's what I see. Those of you who struggle when you are fasting, you make me laugh. It's an exercise in futility. It doesn't mean anything. Do you get my point? God will not answer you more than your neighbor that took small things so that he won't faint. I hope you're getting my point. All of them are quiet on me now. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
You know what I found out? No matter what you say, people, they like to do what they want to do. The flesh wants to collect part of the glory. I know what we did for what God answered. That's what the issue is. You know the truth? If three of you have gone to pray for something, you say, I won't eat at all. You say, I will eat little, so I don't faint. You say, well, if I see food, I eat. If I don't see food, I will eat. You know what will happen? God will answer the three of you equally. All right? And you will come and give testimony. Say, if you want from God, don't eat. This one will say, if you want to move from God, eat more. This one will say, if you want from God, if you see food, chop. If you not see food, not chop. That is not in any way part of the testimony. Do you follow my point? It's a habit. Just we keep on hearing it. I keep on going to read the Bible. It was God finally answered Hannah after she ate. Not when she was hungry. Please, let me sit on that for just 1 minute. The idea of feeling weak and tired because you are praying is unnecessary. I will say it till you believe it. It's unnecessary. People say spiritual discipline. Let me tell you what they call spiritual discipline. It's not everything your eye sees that you want to collect. If woman, they go, it's not your wife, carry your eye, come on. That's spiritual discipline. I hope you're getting my point. If money is not your own, return to the owner. Do you know some people, money can't hit their hand and they won't spend it. They will tell you that, you know, say money not the stay for hand. It's a very bad confession. Money that's not your own. I saw one joke the other day. My wife and I were laughing in the house. One guy said, he called his friend, said, I heard you are running for financial, for treasurer of association. The guy said, yes. He said, it's for people of integrity. The man said, what do you mean? You mean I don't have integrity? He said, no, I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying it's not for people that have financial problems. Don't worry, it's all their comedians. They were cracking jokes. People say spiritual discipline. Let me tell you what they call spiritual discipline. If you are the treasurer, whether you have financial problems or not, you don't touch money that's not your own. That's spiritual discipline. Do you get what I'm saying? For you to be famished, like, what's the name of our guy? Esau. And you say, I won't eat because I'm praying. That's the way you like it. If you take a slice of bread and take a small amount of juice or milk, God will still answer. This one I'm talking about is that the people you are emulating in scripture that went on 40 days fast, they were not struggling like you. Read your Bible. Jesus was not hungry for 40 days. The Bible says afterwards he became hungry. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he came with the power of heaven. Do you get it? The necessity for food vanished. So when he moved into the wilderness, I don't want to sit on that matter now. The kind of energy that came into him was what was sustaining him. You problems carry to go and pray, and you are saying you won't eat. Do you understand? You just die quicker. Because when you were coming, you were weak. His problems are brought. What carried Jesus was power. Power entered him and took him to the wilderness. Your problems took you to the wilderness. And you say, you were already weak before you started. If God comes with his glory, fine. But don't be there developing ulcer for us. That is the beg I'm begging you. Don't complicate these issues. I'm talking about glory. I'm talking about worship. All of this to emphasize to us that, see, when we worship, we are drinking what? Divine life. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. So worship is not, brethren, you should, the impression we are giving sometimes is that, you see, you are denying God something, for everything God has done for you. What have you given him? Give him your worship. Let me tell you, it's better to say that for the hunger in your life and you're not worshiping, how do you want to get food? Do you get what I'm saying? That's a different mindset. For the struggles in your life and you're not worshiping, how do you want to solve them? For the challenges on this earth, you are not worshiping, where will your strength come from? That's a different mindset. Let me say it again. God never, ever asks for something for his own gain. Never. I said earlier, if he tells you to do something, always watch it. You'll see somebody on this earth is benefiting. If he says, give me money, you have to ask, like, where? Because he's not going to spend it. Philippians gave him money. Was it Philippians? Yes. Paul said it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God. Who did they give the money to? Paul. Do you get my point? Macedonians gave money. When Paul was talking, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians, 1st or 2nd? Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, thereabout. The money was going to the saints in Jerusalem who were suffering at that time. Things were tight. So, when we are describing worship, it is you. So, it's more like, oh boy, of all the challenges in this life, you are not worshiping. How are you managing? Not for everything God has done for you, you won't go and worship. No, you are turning it around. Every time you worship, it is you that's facing heaven and drinking from heaven. Now, please, bear that in mind. We'll talk about it on Saturday. I'm kind of repeating that message again. Now,
This is today's school of prayer, and I'm speaking on prayer matter. You see how this connects with prayer in a moment. I've established the fact that worship, okay, now what do we call worship? Therefore, all right? I will just use two forms to explain. Now, there are two ways to look at worship. There is a physical form, all right, which is just a form. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks at what? The heart. For example, now we spread out our hands in worship. Men are told to pray, lifting up holy hands. That's physical. The real thing God is seeing is where is the heart position in the time of hands being lifted. Do you follow my point here? All right, so let's go to the spiritual aspect. Essentially, there are two main things we'll talk about in worship in this area, and that's praise and thanksgiving. Those two things constitute worship, praise and thanksgiving. Now, worship is not whether the song is fast or slow. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. It's a worship song because it's kind of thanking God that he made the day. It's kind of praising God that he's the one that makes this. Whether you say it like this, after 10 minutes, when I slow it down, this is the day, let's begin to worship God. It's the same thing you are doing. Why? The words are, this is the day that the Lord has made. We are ascribing the power to create the day to him. That's praise. We are appreciating him for giving us a day to walk in. That's thanksgiving. That's what we call worship. It's not the speed of the song. So it's good to take it slow, all right? I'm not saying that you get the point I'm making. Whether it's slow or it's fast, that's not what defines what worship is. What worship is thanksgiving and praise. What is praise? Praise is that I'm saying the power belongs to God. Okay, I'm happy with the song I used, all right? This is the day the Lord has made. It doesn't look like a song of worship, okay? It just looks like a song of declaration. But look at it closely. You say, this is the day the Lord has made. What does that mean? This is not the day that the Big Bang made. It's not a day that came out spontaneously for no reason. In it, you're also saying, I will rejoice and be glad in it. So this day was made for my good. So I'm giving the Lord thanks. Perfect worship song. It looks very simple, but it's worship. It's worship. It's worship. Now, you see where I'm going somewhere, all right? Okay, let me just quickly say it like this. To drink of life constantly, the first rule is worship all the time. That's the first rule. Constant worship. And we took two things now in worship, which is what? Praise and thanksgiving. Please, I need to explain this. Every day in this life, that is one thing the world is trying to take away from you. If you're a Christian in the house, say amen. If you are not sure, say I'm not sure. If you are not sure, Nduka, at the end, can you just wave your hand? Those who are not sure, you should see Nduka at the end. He will baptize them and help them be sure. But if you are a believer in the house, say amen.
Amen.
I need to do it one more time. If you are sure you're a child of God, you're here, say an amen.
Amen.
There's a reason why I'm saying that. For that reason, I forbid you from ascribing any problem in your life to witches. Do witches exist? You know the truth? I really don't care. Okay, let's assume it's a yes. Is that okay? But they are not your problem. They are the problems of other witches. Do you get my point? Yeah, they're in the same kingdom. They are fighting. Please listen to what I'm saying carefully. Because our worship is wrongly placed many times, and that is the reason why we don't drink life, even though we claim to pray a lot. Let me explain further. We come to pray, and then we spend half of the time describing the source of our problems. This is the problem the devil has made. Then we spend all the time, and anytime you are saying that, heaven is shut to you, life is not flowing towards you. Why? You are magnifying the devil. As everybody is talking about Christians, those testimonies you hear all the time, you want to know the truth, they are not of true believers. True believers' testimonies, I can tell you for sure, they will not ascribe that, so I was sick for 5 years, and then at the end of the day, which now confesses that the ones causing it, you have embarrassed the Lord. First, you lied. You lied. Let me tell you why you were sick for 5 years. You were walking in sin. Oh, you say, I didn't do anything. See, ignorance is a sin. Refusal to claim your right is a sin.
There are people who are lying down just because they want pity. It's a sin. The desire to have, for you not to love other people, to free them to go and walk, is wickedness. I had a story of one woman. She was sick for a long time. She couldn't move about. The day her mother died, she got up, had a bath, and started going about her business. Actually, it's a true story. You are wondering what happened. Her mother was a witch, taking her, holding her down. No, her mother was not a witch. Her mother was the one taking care of her. When the woman was no longer available to take care of herself, she found power in herself to get up. All the while, she was just sick because the mother was there. When I was young, I said, people will do such things. Now I'm older, they do worse things. You know, a blind man came to Jesus one time. The Lord Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? It's a very, very silly question by our normal standards. I used to think when I was young. Now I'm older, I realize it's a very valid question. It was a very valid question. There are those who don't want to see. Because if I start seeing now, they'll stop giving me money. I have to now be the one giving out money. If I start seeing now, they will share family responsibilities for me. You know, it sounds funny. In countries where the welfare system works very well, you hear people talk about it. People refuse to take work. And what's their logic? That government pays me so and so amount every month. I don't know, please. I may quote it wrongly. Let's say pounds, very common in the UK. Assuming they give you, I don't know, I'm just giving an estimate. Maybe they give you £200 a week. The first job you will get is £220. The guy said, no, why work? They give you a free place to stay. Once you start earning, you have to find your own place. They say no. And when I've heard them explain the issues, it sounds real. Except that you are a drain on the society. No matter the explanation you want to give me, you don't want to see. Did you catch it?
Yes,
sir. If Jesus walked up to you and said, I can open your eyes, and I like, if I open my ear, if you open my eye, I will pay taxes. So when the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? Valid question. It could have been instruct Judas to give me some of the money that's with him. And the Lord would have said, Judas, 5 denarii for that guy. And he would have continued going. But I'm talking about worship, okay? So the reason why many people are down is not their enemies. You know the reason why they are down? Other reasons. They just be like that. It's not their enemies. If they are Christians, I forbid you from ascribing your problems to a witch. You see, what you are doing is that you are shutting off life. It is better. There's something some of us preach faith, we don't get right. We would rather say it's the devil, because God never does what is bad. Except that God says, you don't understand. Life will not come. It is better, even if you were wrong, listen to me, it is better for you to say, this evil, in quotes, this bad thing came from the hand of God. I know what I'm saying. It is better for you to have the mindset. Now, why a lot of people used to reject that before? Do you know why? They think it means if it comes from the hand of God, it has to stay because God, nobody can go against him. But that's not what it means. What it means is that God is calling your attention and he's saying, make certain adjustments and I'll correct something for you. Saying it comes from God doesn't mean that God likes it like that. The evil spirit that tormented Saul, where did it come from? Answer me, please. God liked it like that. Why did God do that to him? Because he rejected the commandments of the Lord. He disobeyed him again and again. A lot of people who reject that teaching is because they feel like, okay, if God says, don't see, nobody can say see. Why? God said, don't see. What they don't realize is that if God says, don't see, you go to him and say, Lord, why? I've been learning that recently. We're talking about it in my home. Well, God, we're reading Isaiah. See, you check it every time God is curing idolatry. The one we read this morning, Isaiah 43 or thereabout. And God said, listen, look at all of these troubles I put these people through. He said, yet they remain stubborn and will not repent. He said, I'm the one that put them through the trouble. What was I hoping? I said, I hope that the pain, the distress will make them repent. But you know what happened? Somebody will not preach to them, which also happened to Pharaoh. They say it's not God, it's natural phenomena. After do you understand? After Moses will have done something to Pharaoh. Pharaoh will call Moses, oh yeah, remove it. Moses will remove it. His people will come and say, did he tell you? Don't mind him. That guy studied the weather. At this time of the year, I mean, Pharaoh, think about it. Locusts are not new. Are they new? Pharaoh will say no. But what happened is that we heard that somewhere down towards Nigeria, there was no Nigeria at that time. I'm just getting an idea. West Africa, there's this thing that's happening, and then the breeze, El Nino, and the, what's the other one that moves very fast? No, there's one that moves high up in the sky. No, no. What I want to say is very inappropriate, but I just want to use the word. The Gulf Stream, thank you. That the Gulf Stream now moved all the locusts over this way. And after a while, the Gulf Stream kept moving and it blew the locusts away into the... And you know what Pharaoh will say? Okay, say, this Moses, this is against sense. He won't deceive me, say, nah, in God. That way, the Bible calls his heart was what? Hardened. Because he ascribed to another force that which God did. We do that a lot of times. Please, I'm talking about worship. Number one, worship. Ascribe greatness to the Lord and do it at all times. I'm talking about how we drink of what? Life. First thing about life is ascribe greatness to the Lord. What is praise? Praise is to call God, in essence, his real name. You know, nobody gave birth to him. You know that? He doesn't have a naming ceremony. He didn't have a naming ceremony. And in case he did, you know, when your child was going to be named, your father sent name. Mother sent name. Everybody sent name. I can't even remember all the names they gave these children. Everybody give name. At the end of the day, you select a few. So if somebody sent name for God, oh boy, we have been reading the name for the last how many billion years? I've not finished reading them. But this is what I'm making. The name that God bears is a description of his character and his power, his position in your life. That's his name. If you hear him being called El Shaddai, now listen to what I want to say carefully. If you hear him being called El Shaddai, it means he's the one that provides. He's the one that supplies everything. I hope you're getting my point. Don't share his glory with another. For example, they say in your office, you think they're about to lay people off. And you panic because what will I do now when it comes to income and food and stuff like that? You know what you have done? You have shared his glory with your employment. See, there are people that are being tested. Now listen to this. There are people listening to me that will be tested shortly because God just wants to know who's your El Shaddai? He just wants to know who's your El Shaddai? Who's your El Shaddai? Who's your El Shaddai? I just want to know. I want to hear. And listen, this life is full of tests. I know what I'm telling you. Treat everything as a test. I've told you before, this is a matter of fact. People have car accidents all the time. Especially when you live in a city where keke is plenty. Like my brother in Port Harcourt said, that in Port Harcourt, even if you carry your car on your head, keke will climb over and jam it. He said, if you like, carry your car. Now, of course, in Enugu, we have a lot of kekes and all of that. You know, if keke scratches my car, as simple as that is, I ask the Lord why. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. As simple as that. There was a day I was driving over here, this junction, this traffic like that. As the traffic that day was congested. So we're moving. Then one guy who was there decided not to turn. He turned, wanted to go back this way. So he had to go around. But instead of going around the middle, you know, that kind of like small roundabout, he turned just before he entered the place. As he moved out of the way, it was tight, so I continued moving. And then guess what he did? He's a big vehicle. He had to do a three-pointer. So he stopped and reversed. And I saw the guy coming. He was in his back. It was a busy evening. All the horn I was blaring, he thought it was just people making noise. And I watched this guy slam right into my door, my rear door on the driver's side. So he came out. Oh, I'm so sorry. Of course, what will you do? Fight him? There's nothing you can do. I'll make him repair it. No. There's no repair they want to do on that thing that will not be worse than what it looks like. Just a small dent. The dent is still there. I can show it to you if you want to see it. It's not a big one. I remember it till now. Because as soon as it was done, I asked the Lord, what was that about? I won't tell you. I believe I got an answer. I won't tell you what answer it was. As simple as bumping into people's vehicles and denting it, as common as it is, no, not in my life. In my life, it's not common. It's not supposed to be common. God rides in my car. I hope you are aware of that. If a man loves me, you keep my word. The Father will love him. I and the Father will come and sit inside his vehicle. Even though he said we'll make our abode with him, he meant his house. But if I leave my house, he has to put presence in my vehicle also. I'm talking about worship. David said, ascribe greatness to the Lord, our rock. His work is perfect and all his ways are just. He was writing to Israel and showing them that every trouble you went through came from God. I chose trouble first because all of us can easily agree that all the deliverances came from him. He said concerning Jacob that the Lord led him about and that there was no foreign God with him. It is so sad that we magnify the devil. Some people now do movies and show you how to avoid witches. How to avoid witches. That if you talk, if God is blessing you, talk, you discuss it anywhere. If witches hear it, they will abort the process. And if you are one of those people who do such nonsense, you want to know the truth? You are taking God's glory and give to little rascals they call witches. No witch can abort something that God began in your life. You know, I began by saying that if you're a Christian, say amen. I said you said it before. Okay, you want to say it again? All right, just to be sure. If you're a Christian, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. So, I say I'm talking to believers. Please, don't play this my message for somebody who has not given his life or her life to Christ. I'm not talking to you. One day I was in Port Harcourt. One woman came and told me that he said a witch cannot kill a Christian. I said so. He said, sir, I don't agree with you. I said, why don't you agree? Some people are bold, yeah. And they walk up to me and say, you don't agree with me. If I knock your nose now, you say I'm wicked. He said, I don't agree with you. He said, why? He said, because he wished killed my husband. I said, your husband was not born again. Say something else. Yeah, I told her like that. She kept quiet. He said, where is I said, what are you where shying me? What are you where shying me? What are you where shying me? What are you talking about? Ah. He said, the man's mother was a witch and she's the one that killed him. I didn't want to get into that discussion. Your mother killed you. Your mother is a witch. I look at that woman as big as you are. Your mother, you are not a Christian too, Sha. Because if you and a witch are fighting by a man, who should win? You have married the man. I don't care. You know, some people say, I'm the one that gave birth to her. They say, Oga. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man live. So the day he married, you lost authority over him. So the one that standing in front of me, saying that the man's mother was a witch, she witched him. The English is correct, right? Anyway, she witched him until he fell sick and then died. I look at the woman and say, you are not serious yourself. You and a witch are fighting over a man and you lost. You said you are not born again. I didn't tell her that too, but that first one I told her. You said you are not born again. God forbid anything bad thing should happen under my jurisdiction. Shame will not let me blame a witch. Shame will not let me. Because like, oh boy, how could it happen? Was I sleeping? How could one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Except that their Lord gave them up. God must have given me up. I'm talking about worship. True worship is ascribing greatness. Even if you steal my money and you're a thief, I will not accept to blame you. I first go to God first. The angels guarding that money, where were they? What did I do that made them ineffective in their security duties? While we are not tapping life, I'm talking about it. We are not calling God by the right names. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We are not calling him by the right names. We take his name and give to other gods. You want to travel abroad, and they say you shouldn't tell anybody. Do you know why? If they know, your passport will disappear. Your passport will disappear. Now, somebody say true worship. Let me tell you how to worship. I want to tell you that. If you want to know, say, please tell me. Some people didn't say it, so I won't tell. I will only tell. Oh. I need you to beg me. Say, please tell me. Okay, good. When I tell you, don't tell anybody. Eh? When I tell you, don't tell anybody. This is how to worship. Go to the front of your compound. Say, guys, at the travel, oh. Let your mother faint. That's how to worship. They say, you do not know. Your neighbors are not supposed to know you are going abroad. Go outside and say, what can I do? I was in your house earlier now. Did you know I'm going to America next week? Then when your mother has fainted like four times and woken up, that's how to worship God. You know what you have just done? You have said to her and to everybody that the power belongs to God. The only reason I won't tell you if you're my neighbor is that I can't carry too much egusi, because you're not to give me egusi now to give to you. But as you will come and stop my progress, you're not serious. You just absolutely cannot. Please, I'm talking about worship. Worship is that you declare loud. Now listen to me. I want to give you three things, all right? We do to tap life. Constantly. First is constant worship. Worship is not just when you raise your hands. Many people raise their hands in church in worship, then go outside and worship. Oh, you know who worship the most in Nigeria? Tinubu. You know, most of us in this country, we are priests of Tinubu. Honestly, APC people, APC priests. One joke was also that time, man. It was so funny. One guy, he said, how to start the conversation? How many people saw it? Omar entered the bus. He sat down. Just said, Tinubu! The conversation kicked off. He didn't even answer them. He left them. Hey, Tinubu! Tinubu! Let me tell you something. How God has helped me. I've never ascribed progress to an individual. And I've never ascribed lack of it also to an individual. Now, I am not saying everybody knows what to do. I'm not saying they know what to do. But I don't care how daft you are as my head of state. If I and my brethren pray and he wants to show us mercy, I mean, isn't it a democracy we are running? He will force help upon you. You will do what is good for us. After all, there are portfolios all over the place. They share the portfolios out. A lot of people, let me tell you, I'm talking about worship. Be careful who you ascribe glory to. If it's, right now, most people are priests of Ashiwaju, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. Priests unto him. The sun is shining too brightly. That's what I don't understand about this government. They will find a way to blame the government. In Nigeria, the person we worship the most, all right, is our president, followed by his party. We worship APC. You know this? Wiki says something today. He said when they win election, they will praise the federal government. Did you see? I haven't read the news because of this Osun election. He said when they win, they'll be praising the federal government. He said, but if they lost now, they'll say, hey, it's APC power, it's federal power, and all of those things. That's what people do in Nigeria, worship. But then, outside Nigeria, you know who they worship the most? Like you go to Europe, you go to America. Who do you know who they worship most? Who can tell? Eh? Themselves, you're right. They worship themselves. If global warming occurs, if sea level rises, it is we air too much. Do you know? They said part of what is warming the globe. If I tell you, you'll be surprised. This is your behavior will change color. Shall I tell you? You know what they say is warming the globe? Say cow the mess. I'm not kidding. Who knows about that? Oh, Edda John, he knows. They said the amount of fat that cow releases is warming the globe. Do you believe that? The day I saw that one, I said, these people have gone mental. So they said the solution is what? Who knows what the solution is? Stop eating beef. If you stop eating beef, we'll stop farming beef. And if we don't farm beef, there will be no cow to fat on the earth. And the earth will not warm. I said, so all the antelopes in the bush will stop farting because of you. What I've told you is not a joke. I'm not joking about it. So they got up. If I still remember the cover of is it Time magazine or Newsweek? One of the two of them. I think it's Time. Anyway, it could be Newsweek, but it's one of the two. They designed like meat, all right? Just artwork. Designed meat made of all vegetables. I said, this is the future. To avoid global warming, stop eating beef. Because the beef, they do the mess. I didn't make this up. In fact, there are things you can't make up. If you make them up, people think you are crazy. But this really happened on this earth. Everybody should be vegetarian. They even found in scripture that God doesn't want us to eat meat. Unfortunately, there's a scripture like that. It's in the Bible. God didn't give meat to human beings until after the flood. So he said, you see, you're not supposed to eat meat. What's their problem? Global warming. By the way, if you're a vegetarian, all right, should I just tell you ahead so that you are going to fall sick? Do you get my point? You will fall sick. See, I'm just telling you the truth, okay? This world is a crazy place. So everybody should be vegetarian. Don't eat meat. Now they say, eat meat too. That's the thing that will save your life. That's the current one. You know that's the current one now. Oh, you don't know it's the current one? Oh, that we are fat because we don't eat enough meat. Let's not even go there. The person they worship most now is self. It's humanism. It's a religion. Humanism. They say we can solve all our problems. Bill Clinton said it. If at least the time will come, people won't need to die. They will die now by choice. They believe it. They believe that death is in the power of the test tube and the microscope. That's a matter of time. We'll have enough knowledge. We'll be able to reverse death. I don't know whether they are still there now, but there's a time it was getting into some kind of fad. Very rich people were paying to keep their bodies frozen in a special way until human beings will be able to reverse death. So a man dies, he's worth billions. As soon as he dies, they carry his body to a special storage. They cool it down and keep it stored. That one day we will reverse death. You want to know the truth? That day is not coming. Death is a spirit. Death is a decree. Death is a spirit. Death is a decree. When God issues forth the decree, the spirit goes out and executes his work. Human beings think the time is coming. They worship themselves now. But I'm talking about worship. Let me not just sit on the matter. You don't fall for it. These days, you know, anybody can talk. Big, small digression, right? I said some time ago, I need to say it again. These days, you know what they call social media? It's a very useless place if you're not specially trained in how to navigate it. 9 out of 10 videos out there are useless. They are designed to waste your time. The people are not making it to help you. They are making it to engage you so that YouTube can pay them. I hope you're getting my point. These videos are done mostly not to help you. It's done to make money. So when you get there, somebody gives you a key to health. Don't watch the video. I'm begging you, don't watch the video. You know why? Most people, not everybody, of course, most people don't know enough to decipher what is right from what is wrong. And whether you like it or not, it will affect you. Most of those exercise regimes they give to you, they mean nothing. Because people are prescribing it there, they don't know anything. They curate something that can catch your attention. The longer you stay there, the more money they make. So I beg you, don't avoid health channels as much as possible if you are not trained. Because they will lie to you. Sometimes the person even calls himself doctor. Stethoscope they sell in the market. There's no law against buying stethoscope. Most stethoscopes are sold by people that did not even go to school. So do you get my point? So somebody carries it doesn't mean anything. The title was not vetted by YouTube or TikTok. That guy could have gotten his medical degree from one bush that does not exist. TikTok does not know the difference. There was a time they told people, don't drink water when you are eating. People believed it. Then they would come and say, drink plenty of water when you are eating. People believed it. Say, your water must have small alkaline inside. People believed it. Some say, no, if you eat alkaline food, you have to drink acidic water. People believed it. It's one thing, and please don't forward nonsense to me that, Pastor, what do you think? I'm not thinking. Don't give me work to be watching all kind of rubbish. I know what I'm telling you. Most health advice, there was a time, you know what they call fasting time, fasting time. I never heard about fasting time. Ah, where did people go to? You didn't hear of fasting time? Ah, this man is very spiritual there. Elder John, what did you do to him? But you, did you hear of fasting time? You can't remember. Ah, praise God, it's in this place, in this country. We thank God. What are those words about fasting time? For health. For health. I'm not talking about church. Oh, okay. I'm not talking about church fasting. No. Church fasting. 60 days, 40 days. Intermittent fasting. Yes. Everybody, anytime I go on YouTube, do you know your fasting time? You know what I used to do? Just drive the video away, my friend. Get out. Do you know fasting time? My friend, get out. I know what I came here to watch. The thing became very, very popular. Intermittent fasting. Based on research done in rats. It was based on a scientific publication done in rats. And after a long time, people fasting, they found out that the more you fast, the more you get heart disease. That the advantage the rats have, they fasted, they restricted their food. It's a long story, I don't go into detail what was crazy about the experiments, because most of those animals are inbred, which means they have genetic faults. So there's an issue with that. For those of you who do science research, you know, those animals are inbred. So it doesn't apply to humans. But a lot of people have gone to fasting time. Fast. I'm not saying you should be eating any. I'm not talking about what we are eating. I'm talking about moderation. But where I'm going is that human beings think they have all the answers. You want to know the truth? They don't. What is worship? Let me not get carried away from my message. What is worship? To say to God, my life is in your hands. I will not depart this earth one day before you decree it. To say to the Lord, you are the Lord that healeth me. That is worship. I hope you're getting my point. What is worship? They asked Moses, Abraham, where do we get, look at the wood, look at everything, look at the fire. Where is the animal for sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will see, literally, the Lord will see to it. That word is very, very deep. The Lord that sees. That's what called Jehovah Jireh. Some will interpret that the Lord will provide. That is, the Lord is watching over every circumstance. That is worship I'm talking about. Human beings, outside Nigeria, in Nigeria we know the person we worship the most is the federal government. Before there was a time we were worshiping President Buhari. But you know what happened to him? His tenure ended. He was no longer a god. And after a few months later, the man went the way of all flesh. We saw he was not God. Then another god that we created replaced him. And we transferred all the worship to him. And I'm telling believers, don't put your worship on the head of state. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying just don't hope in him. I'm saying don't even blame him. Keep your eyes away. Listen. Oh, my Father in heaven. In recent times, our military, all right, they've been making a lot of advances. I don't know how many of you have noticed it. Yeah, you've noticed it. No. That is the kind of results they've been getting, my Father in heaven. Phenomenal. Recently, the head of state created many more divisions for Nigerian Army. They are recruiting 28,000 more personnel and all of that. Is it good or bad? No, please. Is it good or bad? Are we saying it is bad? It's a good thing, but our eyes are not there. We see them as result of the favor of God. When those children kidnapped in New York, when they were rescued, as far as I'm concerned, it was God that answered our prayers. When they were talking about the wisdom, some of the wisdom that they used, we didn't even know they could do. Ah, you saw the wisdom they used? How they, all those things that they did. I didn't ascribe it to anybody. I hope you did not. It was God that just said, all right, I've heard all the cries. It's okay. Let them go free. That is what? Worship. Worship is to ascribe greatness to the Lord. The problem with us is that we'd like to share it half for God, half for the, in fact, no. 40% for God, 40% for the devil, 20 for witches. Witches have to get their own. That is why we are afraid. Somebody touches you, you beat the place hard, as if that can remove jazz. If they take something serious, beat you. Beating the place will not. The thing has entered. But you want God to punish you? If you want God to punish you, say amen. If you want God to destroy your works, please say amen. If you want God to have mercy on you, give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I like that. If you want God to punish you, let somebody touch you and you start beating the place thinking they use jazz to beat you. That is when God will punish you. If you think the man's hand is dirty and you just dusted it off normally, you are blessed. But if you mistakenly think they have used jazz to beat you and you start panicking, even if that man was just a normal person, go his normal way. After that, God will send an angel to use jazz to beat you. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. I know you're laughing. The place will swell. It will get infected. You will take one round of antibiotics. It will not go. It will swell some more. And then you'll go to church. Somebody will now say, God is afflicting somebody's right hand. So what did I do? He said, God said, fear. You gave my glory to another. That is why I'm judging that arm. You now turn and say to the Lord, I'm sorry. As you watch, the swelling will go down. And God said, never fear their fears. From today, I don't want you ever to fear their fears. At the point in time, you know what's going to happen? You'll be the troublemaker everywhere in your office. When they come in the morning, they see Kauri at the door. They'll go and call you, say, Pastor, please, can you enter first? You'll open the door. Say the Kauri, you'll pick them up. Say, Kai, most funny from somebody's hair. You know, women use Kauri for hair. You won't think anything of it. And you know, God is watching you. As you enter the office, see God in front there. Listen, let me put the cowrie there. I wanted to see what you will do. I'm talking about worship. True worship, it starts with raising your hands. Amen?
Amen?
But more importantly, it continues as you give God his right glory throughout the day. If things don't go well, you ask the Lord, what's going on? It's not her. People in this my office, they say I will not prosper. What does it matter? What does it matter? Brethren, I've seen God fight for me so many times that I'm even happy. I was not aware there was a battle going on. You know, the battles I know are the ones that are a problem. Do you know why? I get involved. If someone doesn't like me, I start looking at the fellow with suspicion. But if he did not tell me, I've seen God run my life as if the fellow did not exist. I've seen God frustrate people. I only found out later that, oh, I was his enemy. Uh-huh. And I was not aware. You want to tap life? Brethren, first of all, true worship. Please go and listen to that series we did that time. The worship of the true God. How did you caption it? Can you remember? Huh? No, something like the worship of the true God, something like that. Please go and listen to the series. Many people will raise their hands in church and worship. They open their mouth and worship APC. They worship God in church. Thou art worthy, O Lord. They sing songs to him to receive all glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They leave them, okay? This country was not God's idea. Which kind of country is this that a woman, a girlfriend, a concubine, to Lord Lugard. He's the one that gave us the name we are using. That name is accursed. That is why we have problems. Then that church, there is none like you. God, if you raise that hand again, if you raise that hand again, I will wound you. You come to church, you sing to me. You go outside, you sing to Lord Lugard. You sing to the British Empire. You want to tap life? Constantly worship. Constantly worship. We said there are two sides of worship. I mentioned it, right? Praise and what? Thanksgiving. They go together. They go together. Paul told us, for everything, give thanks. Not only in everything. He said in everything somewhere. He said for everything somewhere else. And they go together. Just give thanks. See, let me tell you what you do. Drive out this concept of devil out of your life with constant praise and thanksgiving. Even if you see, now let us assume it was possible. You saw the devil take something. Assume it was possible. I'm not saying it's like to happen. You saw the devil take something. Don't address the devil. Look to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to thank you because my life is in your hands. Thank you. If you give me something, it stays as long as you say, stay there. It is not good doctrine for us to turn around. This devil that's taking my goods, you can't take it. He's shouting and screaming and screaming and wasting energy. If the devil watched you, he walked into what belonged to you and was not afraid of you, go to the Lord and say, Lord, how did I remove the glory that you placed upon my head? You do what I've said, the devil will walk back, drop that thing there. I know what I'm telling you. Sometimes God is actually pruning your life. You ascribe to the devil. God is pruning people's lives right now. And somebody is saying it's the devil. Please don't listen to prophets that tell you to come and tie God's hands with money. So you will tie God's hands with what? With an offering. Are you not even afraid? The idea that shouldn't cross your mind. You tie whose hands? Let me tell you something that people don't know. Those human beings are very wicked, though. A lot of those prophets, it's business, though. It's business, though. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. For them, it's what? Business. You tie God's hands? With what? They told one lady that time. Say, how much did you use to tie God's hands that day? He said, 1,000. He said, 1,000? That cannot tie God's hands. That prophet is a thief. Onyoshi. Frustrate these so-called devils by refusing to discuss their matter. Don't bring them into your matter. Father, I want to thank you. My friend took my money and did not return it. It's money. I forgive him. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to. Please remove bitterness from my heart towards him. Is it not money? Talk to the Lord like that. Say, no, I can never help a friend again. No need. Just tell the Lord, Father God, see, if that fellow was really your friend, ask the Lord to forgive him and forget it. Nobody should turn you to an angry person all the time because they think, you know, one of the things that annoys us in life, all right? One of those things that annoy us is that we think that we are the ones that are directly responsible for things. So this sense of failure, having failed in some things, it brings frustration. And that's what some of these evil prophets capitalize on. Let me tell you, even your mistakes, if you worship God properly, you will convert it to an advantage. Please, I'm talking about worship. Do you know, one young boy prophesied and a man was restored to his high position in Aso Rock in Egypt. You know the story, don't you? Joseph was in prison. He told this man, you'll be restored. Just as he said, it came to pass. And the man forgot Joseph. Let me tell you how you worship idols. Human beings are not good. That's how to worship an idol. You help them, they don't remember you. A man came to me one day. He said, I should pray for him. We were in church. What is the matter? He said, things are not moving well. That he helps people and they forget. So I asked him, and I said, what do you do? He said, I help politicians. I looked at him like, you help politicians. And that's the profession. Your mates are doing all kinds of things. They have keke, they are even riding. They have bus, they are driving. They have a school where they are teaching. They have clothes, they are selling. They are hawking gala. You help politicians. I couldn't tell in my mind that if you were you, wouldn't you disappoint you? I mean, if you were them, wouldn't you disappoint you? I looked at him. He said, I should pray that they will remember him. I said, you're not serious. This small anointing I get, I'm going to use them for that kind of thing. Lie. I told him, my friend, go and find work. I told him straight. I said, you don't have work. That is like right now. No, I told him. I said, there is nothing you are doing you don't have. Go and find something. Politicians will always forget people like you because they know people like you. I hope you listen to me because we're praying for people. That was the counsel I gave him. There are prophets. Let me tell you what prophets will do. Give me your hands. Father! Yeah, pledge to the Lord that the first 6 months, did you catch that? The first 6 months salary, you bring to the altar. By the time he prays for 100 people like that, maybe one will catch. No. In Joseph's case, the man who forgot him, it was God that snatched his memory. You know what God said? The time to remember Joseph has not come. So if that's what I'm talking about, worship, true worship. So what do? If you're just, you are Joseph, somebody, now please listen. This is how you bring God into every situation. Maybe you're engaged to be married. You're planning, which month are we in now? August. You're planning wedding for October. The woman now called you that in their family are praying. She will get back to you. They imported a prophet who prayed and said you are not the one. Let me tell you the truth. Actually, you are the one, but you don't have money. So that's how this the prophet has seen it and said, this guy, leave him, nothing. Now, this is where I'm going with the gist. The family now believes it. Now starts disturbing the girl. And you call her, listen to me carefully, and she agrees with them. I forbid you in the name of the Lord to complain. So you have paid the whole people. They say deposit, no refund. Tell them, God bless you. Kneel down and give thanks. Dance. Take a whole week. I know you like the girl. Oh, to her, to you. There is nobody, no other woman on this earth. It's a lie. There is another woman on this earth, which is far better than this one. You know who sent that prophet? God. The good Lord said, what do I do for my son, Uche? Find me a false prophet. I'm telling you, the Lord will send a false prophet to that house. And he will prophesy. And the Lord will make them believe. And then they disappoint you. You have to not be calling your uncle. Uncle, are you still coming home in October? Say yes. Say, don't bother again. Ah, why? I thought you said you were married. I've been thinking there's no need. I'm still. I just realized I'm not ready. Okay, true, you're not ready. Because there's no wife, you're not ready. You get my point? It's not a lie, I mean, there's no wife. But don't be angry. Don't be angry. No. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. Tell your close friends, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just worship. That's what they call worship. Don't go, I will never have anything to do with any woman from Oka. It's all this nonsense. It's not Oka that's the problem. That girl just happens to be from Oka. She could have been from Asaba and done the same thing to you. She could have been from Nasarawa and done the same thing. God is not afraid of Oka, Asaba, or Nasarawa. He can send any. When he wants to scatter things, he will. But when we don't want to worship, your uncle will look at this. I told you that time. Now, women from this place, I told you, did you research into the family? Leave that thing. Is God that said what? No. This is how you bring God into every situation. Even if it looks bad, say, Lord, I want to thank you. Please go on. You know, I told you, when I first read this book, Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers, you know, I was of the Word of Faith stock who believed that bad things, they're only done by the devil. What's it called bad? Then I read Prison to Praise. Please, I'm recommending the book. Again, I've not seen that book in maybe the last 20 years, but I can recommend it. If you can find it, Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers. Then he wrote a follow-up book called The Power of Praise. Get the two books. Because he did something which I wasn't used to. Giving God thanks for even bad things. Now, there's a small thing I want to warn you about when you read some of these things. They usually are followed by pleasant testimonies. He said, why are you warning me about it? Because in your life, those testimonies will not always come. You know why? God does not always demonstrate those things to you. That girl embarrassed you and everything. You may not see another wife for the next 8 years. Yeah, doesn't mean it was not God. Doesn't mean it was not God. It doesn't mean. It doesn't mean. In fact, maybe what is making you not see another one for 8 years is that you have not done what I said. You've not gotten on your knees to give God thanks. You'll not be wishing her bad. She will see. Then when she has a family, she will not go and marry an evil person. No. The person she will marry will become the pastor of the biggest church in Anambra. The only one preaching the word of God there. You won't need her God. You won't do her bad back. God said, no, there's no need. There's no need. You are still angry. Which means you don't understand. I worked out your best interest in the situation. It's not you, her I'm dealing with here in your life. It's you I'm dealing with. Let's handle your matter. Just give the Lord thanks. I'm talking about worship. You bring God into every situation and that's where I was going. By lifting up his name. God, I was saying earlier, God has a name. He has many names. In every situation, he has a name. What is worship? To lift up that name. That is worship. To lift up that name. There's a name he bears in every situation. What I'm teaching is that you be diligent to lift up that name all the time. The world is always struggling to give you another name to lift up. Why is the country in a mess? You know, in one country towards the lower part of Africa, I don't want to mention there, you know the country I'm talking about, they are blaming foreigners for economic problems. It's a sad mindset. You want to hear the truth? That economy is going to get worse for everybody. And I'm not telling you because I've done calculations. I just said, God says, see, it's simple. They are lifting up another name. If things were bad, they should have just said, God broke the staff of bread. He does. He's a God that breaks the staff of bread. He's a God that brings prosperity. He's a God that judges. There's none like him. He's God and nobody else. Brother, I'm talking about true worship. The job you need to do is to find out God's name in every situation and lift up the Lord. Lift his name up. Bring him into every situation with praise and thanksgiving. What is praise? Acknowledging who he is. Acknowledging his power. What is thanksgiving? Just what it is. Realizing. Just you telling him, thank you. I know because you love me. No, I said to you. Anytime I think, when I began to have children and all of that, that was when I understood the love of God. Because I told myself, if God loves me, say, didn't you love your wife? No, I loved my wife, but I didn't learn that from loving my wife. You know why? My wife was not fully dependent on me. I don't know whether you get my point. She could go out on her own. She could take care of herself. It was children that for the first time I saw how helpless they were without their parents. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That was when I understood the love of a father. And I knew I would do anything for these children. So I said to God, I said to the Lord that time, I said, dear Lord, first, if I ever worried before, have mercy on me. And I know I worried quite a bit. If you have never worried here, God bless you. If you have never worried, say amen. Look at all the sinners in the house. So they are all candidates for mercy. Say amen.
Amen.
So you have received mercy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you have ever worried, may the Lord have mercy on you. Say amen now.
Amen.
You agree that you have worried before. And I say, if you have ever worried, may God have mercy on you.
Amen.
I also worried. And God had mercy on me. There was a time I stayed awake. I didn't know I was, There are times you stay awake because you want to read. There are times you try to sleep. Sleep doesn't come. But there are times you don't try to sleep. You're just lying down, but your mind is so busy. You are calculating things. It happened to me for hours. I couldn't sleep until it was pointed out to me. This is what they call worry. Worry is not, hey, I don't die. Worry is too much calculation. Is that what I said? People think worry is, hey, I don't die. What will happen? Yeah, but you shake. No. Worry is too much calculation. Too much calculation. You go to church, they say, Men's Sunday is in 3 weeks' time. So men, let's be ready. Must we do Men's Sunday? After all, we did normal Sunday. Why? Because of the amount we contribute. That is worry. Too much calculation. How did I get into that? I don't know. I was trying to say something. I've been taking worship since we started. I've been taking that job. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you know, I just realized that if God loves me half as much as I love these children, worrying was a sin. And actually, I shouldn't worry. How as much?
Half.
But of course, you know, and I understood, that he loves me, that then he loved me more than I love the children or have the capacity to love anybody. After all, my love is with limitation. What I mean, limitation now is that no matter how much I love a child, if he's sick, I can't heal him. Can I? No. I don't have the power. Even if the cure is available and it's too expensive, it will be beyond my ability. But now you're dealing with a father, and of course I can't see the future. You are dealing with somebody who can see the future, who has the power, and more than anything, he actually, truly loves you. Ah, I told the Lord, I'm very sorry. I am truly, truly sorry. If I've been worrying, Lord, I am truly sorry. It's a prayer all of us need to pray. The word teaches us to worry. We don't ascribe the greatness to God. We think we have the power in our hands to take care of the future. We don't. That's my point number one. How do you drink of life constantly? First of all, lift up the Lord in worship all the time. Lift up the Lord in worship. Call him all kinds. Manufacture your name. Manufacture that name into your own language. Come out in the morning and say, good morning, my father who holds my future. I hope that's the name. God's name is not Jehovah this. No. Even that Jehovah you are seeing is a statement in Hebrew. Jehovah Jireh is a statement in Hebrew. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide. I hope you're getting my point. Call him a name. Let me add this one to it. Every day, I said earlier, in Nigeria, they are teaching us, we are teaching ourselves. Let's not blame who's they. It's we ourselves. We are teaching ourselves to worship the head of state, worship the ruling party. In most of the so-called developed world, they teach themselves to worship themselves and their ability. They worship themselves and their ability. You have the discipline because they do it to you all the time. It's subtle. They are pulling your attention away. You have a duty every day to worship God properly. Be deliberate about it. Sit down and just call him all kinds of names. God that heals my diseases. God that forgive my iniquity. Okay, you know the one from Psalm 103. Then say it. The Lord that keeps my car going. Now, I mean that. The Lord that supplies fuel for my vehicle. The Lord that brings me help that I need. God that controls human beings. I can bring favor from any angle. The more you say it, the more you counteract what they are pushing as a narrative in your face. Please see this giving us the idea that human beings decide when the globe will warm and when it will not warm. Listen to me. It's a fat lie. I'm not here to counteract anybody, but listen, it's a fat lie. A time will come, this globe will be so hot, it will melt. And they won't ask your opinion. What am I saying? This is worship. Be deliberate. Be deliberate. Whatever they try to blame somebody else for, you blame. You understand what I mean by blame now? Deliberately blame God for it. A thief takes your bag. Sit down at home and say, Father God, thank you for that bag that you sent an angel to take. Can I have it back? I would like you to return it. Explain the reason to him. It sounds funny, right? But do what I've said. You'll see miracles. But when you start with, wow, all these things in Enugu, they've not shut all of them till now. What is the government doing? That bag is gone forever. But if you bow your head and say, Father God, somebody just snatched my bag. Why did he take my bag? Sometimes it may not give it back to you. It may have its reason. When they took my bag like that, I remember. I pray. Bag not really come back. At the end, I learned a lesson. And I've not forgotten the lesson since 1992 till today. From the loss of a bag. I told you, look, you can't just lose completely. If you lose something material, you gain something spiritual. I feel like sharing this testimony. It's not my own. It's a story I read from David Paulson. Beautiful testimony. He arrived in Italy. Now, in case you don't know, Italy is not Japan. Japan, they don't have a lot of thieves. Japanese don't believe in stealing. They said it degrades them. But in Italy, in fact, right now, I think there are more thieves in UK than my sister and also my wife that at the point that it got so bad in UK, that if you go to report that they stole from you to the police, they don't bother taking notes. They're looking at you like, nobody stabbed you. No, they didn't shoot you. They just snatched something from you. Okay, write it down, they go. They're not planning to investigate it. Why? There are too many problems. The thieves became so bold, they went to people's compound, take their bicycle and ride it away, and police won't look for them. But they have other things they are solving. Anyway, Europe can be like that, parts of Europe. This was Italy. The report said he arrived. They rushed him into the vehicle. All right? You know, they can, a man of God, enter the car. We'll load the vehicle, the boot. So they took his bag and put it in the boot and drove off. Drove like 45 minutes away from the airport to a nearby town. When they got there, they brought the things down. He said, where's my small briefcase? He said, you came with a briefcase. Did you catch that? They just took his big box and left his briefcase roadside outside the airport in Italy. Not in Japan. He said, when they went to tell the police tried not to laugh. like, you came to report that you left a briefcase beside the road. So what do you want police to do? They just took this. So they made it clear to him that everybody just said, Oga, forget that thing. This is Italy. Your briefcase by now is in pieces. All the contents have been shared. Of course, you know the way it is. They were not planning to do anything else about it. Except that he just finished a whole book. And he used to write his books by hand. The manuscript was inside that briefcase. The book is titled The Road to Hell. So he got back to his hotel and told the Lord, I'm not going to write that book. If it's gone, it's gone. I take it that you don't want me to publish it. If you want me to publish it, you got to get my briefcase back. Next day, a man walked to the reception. Didn't greet anybody. Dropped his briefcase on the reception desk. Turned around and walked away. You can decide who the person was. He said, he just told the Lord, that briefcase. He said, I need it back. He told the Lord, I need it back. If I don't get it back, I will not rewrite that book. I take it that you've taken the book away. You don't want me to publish it. If you want me to publish it, get me my briefcase back. He left it outside at night, 45 minutes away. A mysterious person brought it the next day, dropped it for him on the reception desk, and walked away. That's what I mean by worship. Bring God into every situation. Call him the right names. Ascribe greatness to him. I hope you're getting my point. Ascribe. I wish you understood, oh my God, how much God is in your life. See, unbelief is very powerful. Unbelief literally drives God away. Peter was in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and he was sinking. Not because normal people are not supposed to walk on water. But what did Jesus say? Because of his unbelief, his doubt, fear. Fear. That's why the Lord will meet you first of all and say, fear not. He will say, fear not. Let me explain to you. You will not die one day before the Lord has ordained. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And no matter how much you hide, the day of death is the day of death. If you want to postpone, talk to the Lord about it. You can't hide away from it. I hope you're getting my point. One of our brothers was in a ghastly motor accident the other time. It was very funny. He's a doctor, so he knew what he was saying. Entered the vehicle, sat down, and he slept off. You know what woke him up? People trying to cut the car to get him out. You see, I'm telling the story in a moment. The car was in a terrible accident. It was mangled. They couldn't get him out. They were, you know, they were hacking. That was what woke him up. He slept off before the accident happened. And listen to this. The person sitting right beside him, why I mentioned to you that he's a doctor, is that he said the man's brain was on his body. The guy's head was squashed open. His brain spilled on this brother's body. That's why I mentioned the fact that he could recognize what was going on. He had a small bump on his cheek. That's all. So later on, they asked him what was his name, you know, stuff like that. We had to write it down. You know, they had to take records. He opened his bag, and every pen he had was broken. The bag was with him. He opened the bag, and so he wanted to, you know, just to write something. So he opened the bag, picked the pen. It was broken. So he threw it away. Picked another one. It was broken. What does that say? The bag was mangled. He that carried the bag, just a bump here. Nothing. He walked away from there. Brethren, your life is in God's hands. That's what I mean. Three things. Please, let me just list them. I didn't know I would talk this much today, but it's my habit. So even though I didn't plan it, but it happens. Okay? First thing, if you want to drink of life constantly, one, lift up the Lord all the time. That is what we call worship. Number two, you lift up his promises. I'll talk about that next time. That's what we call faith. And number three, you declare his victory. That's what we'll call reigning in life because of righteousness. One, worship, true worship. Lift up the Lord. Don't ever let anything diminish his position in your life. Don't ever let your eyes be on him all the time. There is something he has said about every situation. Find it. Lift it up all the time. Let your eyes be upon what he has said every time. And number three, as a result of that, we can't go into that now. We'll talk about it continuing the next time. As a result of that, what do? You declare his victory. When you know the Lord, when you know his promises, that brings a form of boldness into your heart that you open your mouth and speak, and situations around will respond. Let's bow down our heads. Just give the Lord thanks again. Today we'll talk about thanksgiving and praise. Just give him thanks and call him to look. All of us will pass through things here and there. According to what you want him to attend to now, lift up his name in that area. And of course, repent of worshiping any other thing. Repent of worshiping any other thing, any other God. Repent of worshiping any other God. Repent of worshiping any other God.